Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. We are so excited that you guys are here. This is the Revival Lifestyle Podcast, episode 187. I cannot believe we're almost on episode 200. We started this podcast about 6 years ago, and here we are. I thought it was going to last 10 episodes, and we're here almost at 200. So the Lord has been faithful and good. Very, very excited. I have with me tonight my, well, new friend. I feel like I've known him forever, but my new friend, Pastor Todd Smith. Pastor Todd, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing great, Isaiah. Thanks for having me. So excited about what's going to happen.
Thank you so much for being on. And guys, he literally has a service that's going to start right after this that he's going to go preach at. So he is on fire. He is ready to go. And I'm so grateful that he'd be on. Tonight is very, very special for a lot of reasons. Some of you tonight, I believe, are going to get sparked with revival, that the fire of revival is going to hit your family, hit your home. I'm praying that it hits your kids, hits your wife, family that's unsaved. I'm just asking the Lord that this would be contagious. I have such an expectation for the testimonies that are going to be shared. Some of these testimonies, guys, are just so incredible. They're going to stir your faith. And ultimately, they're going to bring honor and glory to Jesus. If you guys know, if you follow me, you know that I am a revivalist at heart. I eat, breathe, and sleep revival. When someone says, there's a revival going on, my ears go up. I'm so excited about revival. And Pastor Todd, they've been experiencing an outpouring for almost, if I'm not mistaken, almost 7 years now. The Lord has been moving in North Georgia. And I just want to say on the front end, guys, I've been there. You need to get there. I don't care where you are. And you guys know I rarely ever say this. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. This is something incredibly sovereign, incredibly special. It's a work of God. There's not really like all these big name speakers. It's not like, that's not why the crowds are coming. It's really Jesus goes, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And that's really what it is. The Lord is being exalted at this revival. I was there a few weeks ago. I got the opportunity and honor to preach and honestly to be a part. And I was so touched. I already knew going that I was going to get touched more than I was going to actually minister to people. And I just wanted to share before I turn it over to you, Pastor Todd. Before service, when we went to the back to take communion with the leaders and pray, I mean, that was honestly one of the most holy moments I've ever been a part of in my life. One of the most sovereign moments. I felt the Lord so strong in that back room. I wanted to take out my phone and film it. And then I felt like the Lord said, don't touch the ark. You know, don't touch what is holy. Something so holy happened as all of the pastors and leaders got together before service, took communion and prayed. And I was just tremendously touched. I feel like I'm still buzzing from the revival. And that was like a couple weeks ago. And so I want to highly encourage everybody watching the live on the replay. You got to get to this revival. Even before I start, I want you to know the info is at cfchurch.tv/NGR. It's in the description. I already know the entire show. You guys are going to keep saying, where's the address? What time is it? How do we get there? If you go to the website in the description or the website just named, you'll find all the info. It's Sunday night, every Sunday night, and their services go sometimes till midnight, sometimes till 2 a.m. They're baptizing people. It's a sovereign move of God. So I wanted to say that before I started the show. I'm just so grateful, Pastor Todd, that you've said yes to the Lord for what the Lord is doing. This is so sovereign, so special, and just so grateful that you'd be on and on the show to share about that revival tonight.
Well, Isaiah, having you here at the North Georgia Revival in Dawsonville, Georgia, was really a divine kingdom connection. And we're still shaken. Our entire church family is still shaken as a result of what happened that night. And we just can't wait to have you back.
I'm excited to be back, and I'm happy to announce, I won't tell you guys the date yet, but early next year, we will be back in Georgia. So all you in Georgia that missed it, I'm telling you guys, just make it there. Don't even wait till I'm there again. Just get there, bring your family. It's so powerful. I really want to bring my family out to it. It's just, I'm tremendously touched by what God is doing there. It is really a historic revival happening in this generation. I know everybody was, and I love what God did at Asbury. All these revivals are great. I love what God has done, but guys, there's a historic revival that's happening right now in North Georgia. And so again, beyond honored to have you on. I would love to start with your story, how you came to Christ. You know, were you raised in a Christian home? Maybe just people that don't know you, a little bit of your testimony would be awesome just to start out.
Yeah, I was raised in a Christian home, but I didn't come to know the Lord until the age of 15. And the way it took place, Isaiah, was just really remarkable. you know, I was partying, drinking, doing all the things that a typical 15-year-old would do. I was a good kid, but just loved to party. And a girl in a wheelchair came up to me in high school, bumped into me, pointed her finger at me and says, "You need to go to church." And it startled me. It really did. It rattled me. And when she rolled her wheelchair away, this is what I said in my heart. I said, "If I were in your condition, I would need to go to church."
Wow.
The next week, she does the same thing. I didn't even know her. She bumps into me with her wheelchair on purpose, points her finger at me, and said, "You need to get into the church." And from that moment on, the Holy Spirit just pounced on me. I would go to bed fearing that I wouldn't wake up and I would spend eternity in hell. Then all of a sudden, the longing to get to church just began to percolate in my heart. And I found myself at First Baptist Church in Pleasant Grove, Alabama. And that Baptist pastor preached on the cross, and I went forward and gave my life to God. And that was when I was 15 years old, and my life has never been the same since. And I'm telling you, Jesus still saves. He still changes people's hearts and their eternity. So I loved it. That girl, I owe my eternity to a young lady that was in a wheelchair that had the boldness to bump into me and just put her finger in my face and say, "You need to get to church." God used that. I'll never forget.
I love that. The seed. And my sister begged me for months. I was 19, didn't go to church for years, and she kept bugging me. And I want to encourage some of you in the chat to keep bugging your friends and family to get them in the house of the Lord. Miracles happen in the house of the Lord. Revival takes place. I would love to hear, how did you go from that? You have this encounter and you're now saved at 15. What was the call to the ministry? How did you get into the place of becoming a pastor? Did you feel the Lord just called you, or you just knew immediately you wanted to get into the ministry?
Well, the Lord called me when I was 16 years of age. I'll never forget. I was in my bedroom and I heard in my spirit, the Lord said, "I want you to preach the gospel. You're a chosen vessel to me." And so at 16, I surrendered to really just preach the gospel, go on mission trips, pastor a church, whatever that looked like. And I did that through our Baptist denomination. I was raised Southern Baptist. And so I went to a Southern Baptist college and then seminary at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. But when I came out of seminary, Isaiah, I pastored my first church, and it was one of the fastest growing churches in the state of Georgia. We were blowing through services, three services, adding a brand new sanctuary to accommodate the growth. But then 3 years into my pastorate, I got hungry for the more of God. I started reading the scriptures and saying, "God, why aren't I seeing the miracles and the signs and the wonders? Why am I just preaching and people getting saved, which is wonderful, but no one's getting healed, no one's getting delivered?" And it just bugged me. And so I decided to take off my denominational glasses that I paid a lot for.
Come on.
And I said, "Lord, I'm going to read this Bible as if I just got converted, without any bias, without any filter." And when I started reading the New Testament without that Baptist, you know, bias, it became clear to me that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was available to me. And I went to a Pentecostal prayer meeting, Isaiah, where a Baptist pastor should not be. And they laid hands on me. Now, I'm pastoring one of the fastest growing churches in the state of Georgia. I mean, we're exploding. But my hunger for God just literally outpaced my fear, if you will, of what would happen, the repercussions. And I went to that prayer meeting, and this 140-pound man laid his index finger on my forehead and said, "Be filled with the Holy Ghost." And everything that I had ever preached against, I'm talking about falling out in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, happened to me. And from that point forward, my life changed forever. It was good, but it was to the next level. So ever since then, I've been pastoring a non-denominational church, and it's just exciting to know I got the best of both worlds, my Baptist background, but now the Pentecostal fire.
That's so good. And then you went from there to pastoring. Tell us what happened and how the revival started. Again, guys, such a significant move of God's happening there. Over 40,000 people have been baptized now. It's actually more than that. The Lord has done such a sovereign work. How did that start? Where were you at when the revival broke out in your pastoral, I guess, calling? And then talk to us about how the revival broke out.
Yeah, well, in 2017, Isaiah, 7 years ago, I'm pastoring Christ Fellowship Church in Dawsonville, Georgia. And our church was good. I mean, it had good programs, you know, quality youth ministry, quality children's ministry, quality worship, all of the things that a normal church, you know, has. But something on the inside of me, again, started to stir and say, God, I am not content with where we are.
Come on.
And in December of 2017, I read a scripture out of Psalm 27, verse 8, where David said, "Oh God, when you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face I will see.'" I realized that pastoring, being a father, being a husband, that I had lost the face of God, even while I'm preaching the gospel. I was so familiar with the hand of God because it seemed like every time I prayed, I literally was asking God for something. It was always about, "Lord, will you grow my church? Lord, would you meet this need? Would you come through financially for this? We want to do this for you." And those things are great and wonderful. But in the midst of it all, I had lost the face of God. And when I came to that revelation, I knew that God was positioning me for something more. And I called our church to a 21-day time of fasting and prayer. And I said, "Church, when we come together, when we gather for prayer at our church, we're not going to ask God for a single thing. We're not going to ask him to bless us while we're fasting. We're not going to ask him to increase our church, to send us new members. We're not going to ask him to increase our portfolio, nothing. But when we come together, we're going to come into the sanctuary and we're going to kneel before him, and collectively we're going to go after the face of God." And Isaiah, I think that was the catalyst for the revival. When we made our pursuit not what he would do for us or could do for us or what we thought he was obligated to do for us, but we simply said, "God, if you don't bless us another day, you've already done enough, but we are coming after you." And so that was really the foundation of where it launched. But then I went to the next level and I said, "Church, we're not going to ask him for anything, but we are going to cry out for his glory."
Come on.
And I read John chapter 2, where it said that he turned the water into wine and from that point forward manifested his glory. And when I read that, I said, "God, whatever that looked like, whatever was happening around Jesus in Jerusalem as he walked, that glory, would you manifest that same glory in our church, that when we walk past the doors through the sanctuary, that it's like it is so intense and there's a density of your presence that we are even fearful to take another step because of the condition of our heart. Lord, would you make it difficult for us to breathe in this environment? Put as much glory on us as our flesh could handle." And Isaiah, that's what we prayed. We said, "God, we don't need anything but your face. And would you fill this room full of your glory?" And then the third element, Isaiah, that we talked about and really complicated, I said, "God, anything in me that grieves you, anything that offends you,
come on,
what I watch on television, the music I listen to, the way I treat people, folks that I've hurt in my past, whatever the case, God, whatever is in my heart that's dark, hidden, that I've negotiated and even accommodated and made allowances for, I give you permission to reveal that to me. And I say, Lord, I will repent and I will turn from it." And Isaiah, that was the posture that we took in 2018 in January when we did our 21-day fast. And I'm telling you, on February the 11th of that same year, the glory of God fell in our sanctuary. And we've never been the same since. My preaching's not the same. Our worship's not the same. How and why we do ministry's not the same. Prior to that, I was all about getting a crowd in the building. I'm talking about it was people-centered. What can I do? What hoops I need to jump through? You know, what do I need to give away this week? What emphasis, what promotion? How can I get my community in the building? But when the glory of the Lord came in, there was a paradigm shift that took place where we no longer focused on the people as our priority, but it was the presence of God that we said, we want to create a culture in this room, and not only in the room, but in our hearts, that God is attracted to, that where he would simply come in and not want to leave, that he would find a resting place at Christ Fellowship Church in Dawsonville.
That's so powerful. And was it that next couple weeks where you recognize the Lord's doing something special here? Was it everybody that realized that the Lord was among you, that something special was happening? Like, what was the moment that you knew, okay, we're in revival right now. The Lord is here. He's sovereign. He's moving. Was there a specific moment, or was it just as the weeks progressed, you guys recognized that his presence was there?
No, it was emphatic. It was dominant. On the 11th of February, I got up to transition the service on a Sunday night, and I don't give courtesy falls. I don't play. I cannot stand, you know, just going through the motions of touched by the Holy Spirit. I got up to transition the service on the Sunday night, Isaiah, when the glory of the Lord fell. And I got there and literally had to lay down on the platform because of the kavod of God was so heavy. And my executive pastor and one of my armor bearers, they knew I'm not going to fall unless something's wrong or unless it's God. So they immediately came up and checked on me, thinking that something physically was wrong with me. And they asked me, are you physically okay? Are you all right? And I looked at them and said, I could not be better. This is it. He is in this room.
That's
and
so
that
powerful.
Is when we were literally thrust into the revival. We've been going now this coming Sunday, 352 weeks of revival, and baptized 42,000 people. Because this revival, Isaiah, is a little bit different. It is an immersion revival that focuses around the water. And people come from all over the world, all over the nation, to encounter the fire of God in the water.
So good. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment, because it is a very special revival. And listen, this revival will stir up the religious spirit. I'll tell you that right now. I love when the Lord does things that just offend the religious spirit. It offends the religion and people. I think so many people, especially in the Western church, have put God, and this sounds so cliche, but it's so true, in a box. And we say, if the Lord doesn't move this way, it can't be revival. If the Lord doesn't move this way, it can't be revival. And the Lord's done something so special we're going to talk about here in a moment at your guys' church. But before that, one thing I've recognized about you is you are incredibly humble. I think this is such a key to revival. And I want you to talk a little bit about this humility. I was telling my good friend Jared, who you met the other day, I said, I truly believe that if every pastor in America on Sunday morning would get on their knees and cry out to the Lord in front of their congregation and say, Lord, we've sinned against you. Lord, we want a move of your spirit. God, forgive us for worshiping our programs and our parties and our outreaches. God, we need you to move. And just really cried out in hunger. And that's the key essence of humility, saying, Lord, we can't do this without you. We've tried so long in the Western church doing everything without the Holy Spirit. There's that famous story you've probably heard of a Chinese missionary that came to America and said, I'm so surprised on how much you guys get done without the Holy Spirit. And you know, he's so shocked on how we've built these massive ministries and massive buildings without his presence. And I think true revival starts with a man or a woman of God getting on their face before the Lord and saying, God, I can't do this without you. I've done this for so long. And you were saying the large church and the programs and all the things to get people in. But there's a moment where you say, I have to humble myself. And this has to be all about the Lord. And so I would love to talk a little bit about that. I truly believe if pastors did that, and you did that when you said, Lord, if there's anything in my heart, search me. But I think as pastors, we so badly want to control, and we so badly want to do things the way we want to do things and make service the way we want it. What part does humility, where you just say, Lord, do whatever you want to do? You know, what part does that play in revival? And as far as your guys' experience, how does humility play a role for those even watching that want revival, but there's just that pride and arrogance that we think we know how God should move or how God should do what he does?
Well, look, humility is paramount to be able to, one, have revival, and it must remain in order to sustain revival. I think, Isaiah, as I've discovered, that God's attracted to cultures. There are certain environments that repulses, that just makes him just like, I don't want to be a part of that. And yet then there are certain places that he says, I want to be there, right? And I think it's all about the culture. And we discovered early on that God's attracted to the right environments. One is the culture of honor. We decided early on that we're going to honor each other. We're going to honor and prefer one another and defer to each other. We're going to honor. We're going to honor God. We're going to honor his word. And you notice that when we open up our services, that we shut the door right at the time the service starts. Wow. Nobody can come in, and we begin the service with the reading of the word of God. It is a significant component of the revival, the word of the living God. It is living. It is breathing. It is God on paper. And so we won't allow people to walk in and to come in late when we are reading the word of God to start our services. We just simply gave place to honor the reading of the word. In fact, he even said, I have placed my word above my name. Mm. It is something that we need to revere. And so that's what we do. It's a culture of honor. Number two, and I think this is key, is a culture of brokenness and what you alluded to. I found in Isaiah 66, the thing that God looks for. And if any person out here wants revival, it's not going to come because you say the right words, you preach the right messages, sing the right songs, or even put on a good program or entertainment, etc. Revival comes, and this is what God says. He says, on this one thing I will look, Isaiah, he said, this one thing I will look. I will look for him or her who has a broken and contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. And so, Isaiah, that is the posture that I have to take, and the men and women of God have to embrace, that God is not impressed with our resumes. He's not impressed with the campuses and how many we have, how many folks are coming to our building, how large our budget is. If we have, you know, 250,000, 1 million people following us on social media, that does not impress God. That does not qualify me nor you, anybody, to have a move of the Holy Spirit. He says, this one thing I look for, on him who has a broken and contrite spirit. Oh God, I'm a man of unclean lips. Lord Jesus, I have difficulty telling the truth. Lord, I speak evil of people. My eyes behold things that they shouldn't. And it's this brokenness and contrition is being fully transparent and honest with yourself as you approach God, as his purity literally highlights all of the areas, all the shortcomings. And I feel that for revival to be sustained in a house, the men and women of God that lead it must always be cognizant that we are nothing but flesh, and that God is holy and pure and righteous, and nothing I do qualifies me for him to use me other than humility and brokenness. He says in Isaiah 57:15, I will revive the heart of the broken and contrite one. Yeah. And so this is difficult. I'm telling you, your flesh fights it. Your flesh wants to be puffed up. I tell pastors all the time, I say, guys, keep your nose down. The light is not meant for you.
Come on.
The light is not, it is not our wedding. It is not our service. It is his. And be so low that you cast no shadow, that you cast no shadow. I know you have to appear on a stage to say things and to minister and to lead people. But as soon as you get off of that, you deflect all of the praise and all the honor and all the accolades and say, God, this is you, because I know who I am in my heart. I know the propensities that I have, Lord, to take that unto myself. And I feel it with our staff and our elders and our leaders, that we've tried to keep our face on the floor, out of the light, and just host him, just
There
to
you go.
host him. I'll never forget when I asked the Lord Isaiah, I said, Lord, how do I pastor this? How do I manage what you're doing? Because when you see miracles and when you see people that get on a plane and they've got 3 weeks to live and they
Come
come
on.
into your building and they're going to spend one of the last 21 days that they have on earth in your environment, you can't put on pretty church. You can't put on cool church. You can't entertain people.
Come
You
on.
can't put on a production. You've got to find, God, what am I going to have to do to continue to have your presence? So when people walk in that are addicted and dying, that you're here to meet them.
Come on. Is this
And I
something you
heard,
guys see regularly? Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead. I'll ask you after that.
No, no, no. And I heard the Lord say this. Isaiah, I heard him say it when I asked him about how do I handle this move of the Spirit. He said, Todd, he said, hold it loosely, but guard it ferociously. Hold it loosely, but guard it ferociously. In other words, don't put your fingerprints on it. Don't claim it as your own, but just simply allow me to do what I want to do. And that's been our, MO, if you will. That's what we've tried to do over the last 6.5 years as we're moving into our 7th year of revival.
That's so powerful. And is it a regular thing for you to have people? Because I was listening to some of your team talk and they said, hey, there might be people on stretchers or on beds or people in wheelchairs. It was like normal talk. And one of your team members said, yeah, people come here with a week to live. People come here with 2 weeks to live. People come here with days. I think one of the guys said like someone had 3 or 4 days to live and they were going to bring them in on a stretcher and put them into the water, which we'll talk about in a moment. And guys, we have some of the craziest testimonies. I'm not even saying this you've ever heard that we're going to share it tonight from the revival as well in a little bit here. But is that a regular thing for people to come in and they're sick, they're dying, and they're on the end of the rope believing for a touch from God at the revival?
Oh, absolutely. Every week. And the reason is they don't come for the preaching, even though the preaching's dynamic. And most of the preaching's done by local pastors. We discovered that we did not want to build a move of God on a particular brand or personality, even though we have great folks like yourself that came in. But typically it's local pastors, friends of mine that come in and preach that have no notoriety, no fame, or what have you. But people come because of what Jesus is doing in the water. So Isaiah, during that time of fasting back in 2018, I had a vision of our baptismal pool. It was bone dry. There's not a drop of water in the baptismal pool. And all of a sudden, 15 days into the time of fasting and prayer, I see my baptismal pool in an open vision full of water and fire on top of the water. It was 2.5 to 3 feet wide from front to back. It lasted 8 to 10 seconds. And I heard the Lord say, Todd, I'm going to baptize people with Holy Spirit and fire. And we had no idea literally what that meant. Me being raised Baptist, I just thought it was people were going to have an incredible time at their new birth baptism. That God was going to baptize them with the Holy Spirit in the water. But when you see psoriasis melt off a man's body, okay, on his legs and his arms, he's in the water and he walks out and he looks down and he sees that the psoriasis has melted off. It changes everything. And the Lord healed him with a 3-second immersion. The Father baptized him in fire and healed his physical body. So the testimonies began to be spread on social media and folks started showing up and saying, hey, my auntie's got 5 weeks to live. I heard that God's healing people of cancer in the water. And they come because they've heard of what Jesus is doing. So yeah,
so good.
This coming Sunday, we'll have people, there'll be 4 or 5 cancer patients. There'll be people that are blind. There'll be folks that are in wheelchairs that they will push in from the parking lot. And we are believing God to touch every single one of them in the water.
I want to keep talking about the significance of the water, because that's really one of the trademarks of what God is doing. It seems to be that every revival in history, there's something special, significant the Lord did. Of course, with every revival, there's healings, there's deliverances, there's a call to repentance, there's deep sorrow over sin. These are all trademarks of revival, but there's always some special characteristic, it seems to be, in history when the Lord does a sovereign move of the Holy Spirit. For you guys, it really is that there's something happening. There's a stirring in the water, I guess I could say, for lack of a better term, where people are getting healed, they're getting delivered, they're getting set free. I know when I was there, you guys went on until I think it was 1 something in the morning. And like Sunday night, one of your team told me, it's actually normal for us to go till 2 o'clock in the morning. So the service is starting at, is it 6 or 7 o'clock service starts on Sunday?
Yeah, 6. And so people will show up at 4:15 to 4:30 to, you know, to get in line to get an early registration letter so that they don't have to be there at midnight or 1 o'clock. In the early days, Isaiah, we were baptizing to 6 in the morning.
Hold on. 6. So 6 p.m. the service starts. I know you guys pray before that, which we'll talk about in a little bit here as well. You're starting at the service, the official service starting at 6. People are lining up around 4 o'clock. And then you guys used to go till 6 o'clock in the morning the next day. So 12 hours. And listen, guys, every one of you know in this generation, there's no way unless the Lord is moving that anybody is staying. And some of you watching this right now that are in the live chat, you are at church in the 40 minutes you're looking at your watch going, when's this going to be over? And that really is a testament to when the Lord's not moving, you look at your watch. But when the Holy Spirit's moving, you have no problem going till midnight, going till 1 a.m. So you guys are going, used to be going till 6 a.m. Now you guys go till, you know, midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Tell us a little bit about what is happening during that time where you guys are in the midnight, late night. And are you guys just baptizing people that entire time? Talk us a little about what's going on there.
Yeah. You know, the service ends at 8, you know, as you witness, and we have an altar call, but then we open up the, you know, the waters. We used to have one baptismal tank, and that's why it took to 6 in the morning. There would be 200-300 people waiting to be baptized. And so it would take to 6 to, you know, facilitate them. Then we added an additional above ground swimming pool in the sanctuary. Come on.
I should have had a picture ready, but you guys have to go to the revival. I should have showed that. But yeah, there's an above ground, first time I've ever seen that in the church, which is amazing. Above ground swimming pool in the church.
And then we said, well, we have to add another one. So we added 2 more. So we have 4 baptismal tanks. They're immersing people simultaneously. So there's 3 above ground swimming pools and 1 built-in traditional baptismal tank. And in every pool, they're experiencing deliverances. Demons are coming out. Folks are encountering the fire, and demons, as you guys know, hate water.
Yes.
They hate fire and water. And so they're getting delivered. People are getting healed. Folks are coming back to the Lord, confessing their sins, getting saved in the water. I mean, prodigals coming home. Just anxiety, oppression being relieved. So it's absolutely unique in the sense of, I don't know if there's ever been another immersion revival. Every revival has baptisms, all right? But
yeah.
This revival is centered around meeting Jesus, the point of contact in the water, and allowing him to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
That's so good. And so people are going in. One lady, by the way, in the chat just said, I got baptized there at 4 o'clock in the morning, which is so cool. I love that someone's in the chat and said, and a lot of people from the church are also in the chat. So people are getting baptized. Now we're going to show some pictures and testimonies here in a little while, but now you guys are also praying. You're not just baptizing people like some people at the church, they got a 1 minute baptism, but there's also ministry happening where people are getting prophetic words. They're getting deliverance. They're getting healing prayer. Is there a little bit of a longer than just they go down in the water, come up to the next person, or is there actually some ministry time that's going on after they're getting baptized?
Well, it just depends. We take very serious the time that people have waited to get into the water. So we don't rush it. It's not like the new believer's baptism. And this is not that.
Okay.
This is not the new believer's baptism. And we are very careful to tell folks, you don't have to be baptized again. Your first baptism is beautiful.
Wow.
You know, it's an incredible display of your relationship with Christ, public announcement that you're a Christ follower. But this is like a mikvah in the Old Testament. It's a place of meeting. It is a place of cleansing. It's a place of repentance. It's a place of death. We know that Colossians 2, we're buried with Christ in baptism. Romans 6, raised to walk in newness of life. It's also where the bride is getting her heart right, cleansing, if you will, in preparation for the bridegroom. I find it interesting, Isaiah, that Jesus first came and John the Baptist prepared the way with water baptism. And I think that right now, Jesus is getting ready to return, and he may be following this pattern that where he's getting his bride and the wedding garment cleansed. He says, I'm not coming with a bride with spot and blemish and wrinkle. And I think it would be just like the Lord to say, meet me in the water, and in 3 seconds, I can do in your life what 10 years of sermons cannot do. I will come with vengeance. I will come with a ferocity, with fire in my eyes. I will evict every trespasser. I will eject every squatter out of your life. And that's what we're seeing. So we're never in a hurry. Some baptisms take 3, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. When the presence of God falls on them and they get slain in the spirit in the water, we don't rush them out. We kind of just escort them to the side and let them float and let the spirit of the Lord minister to them as long as they need to.
That's so powerful. I hear the religious spirit listening right now is probably screeching. And we love that because the Lord moves in unorthodox ways. People don't realize if you look all through scripture, the Lord really moves however he wants to move. When people say, that's not God or God can't, I'm like, who are we to say God can or can't move in a certain way? I mean, if you look at Acts 19, the Bible says Paul was doing unusual miracles, that even his handkerchief was being laid on the sick and they were healed, and demons were being driven out by Paul's handkerchief. So the Lord does this, and the Bible says in Hebrews, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he moved in unorthodox, unusual ways in scripture, he could do it again. And he is doing it. It is an unusual but powerful thing. And of course, we know it's a biblical reality. There people are getting baptized in the Bible. It seems to be that when I look at what God's doing at your church, the water is something very tangible that people can kind of grab onto and say, okay, I'm going to do an actual act, a tangible act. I'm going to activate my faith with this act. And I'm going to believe for God to do something when I'm submerged in that water. And I'm thinking about, you know, I know I'll be coming back early next year. 1000% I'm going in the water this next time. Last time I had a flight super, super early. I had to leave. And it was like, I don't know, I got left at like midnight and I left to the airport like 1:30 a.m. But this next time I need to get in the water because I believe there's something special that happens when you are obedient, not only to the word, but like you said, it's not like you're getting rebaptized every time. But it's an act of faith. It's a supernatural thing that the Lord is doing, really stirring the waters there. And so, man, like I said, you can't, and I hate to say it the way I'm saying it, but you can't get this online, guys. This is not something, you can't just watch the revival and say, oh yeah, I watched online. This is really something where you have to get there and be a part of it. There was a famous preacher that said, if you find God moving somewhere, pay any price and do anything to get there where he's moving. And there really is biblically a difference between the Lord being everywhere and his presence manifesting somewhere. And someone might listen, might say, well, the Lord's everywhere. Yeah, but his presence isn't manifesting everywhere. It's not manifesting at every church. That would be a lie for us to say that. It's not manifesting in every home. There's the Lord being all present, all knowing, all powerful. Then there's the manifest presence of God in scripture where the Lord is dwelling in a place. And in that case, like we're seeing here at your church, that's where we say, hey, I want to be there. I'll pay for the flight. I'll pay for the hotel. It doesn't matter because I want to get my family there. I want to get in the waters. Of course, again, I put the website there. Make sure that you go along the protocol. If somebody's watching, and we're going to share some testimonies in a moment, but if somebody is watching that says, I want to get in these waters, is there something they have to like fill out before they come? Or is there something they need to register? Because obviously you guys want to know amount of people you're baptizing and get everybody in the right place. How does that work as far as people that want to get in the waters?
They come early, you know, around 4, 4:30, 4:45, doors open at 5, and then in the lobby, they register the night of their baptism. So there's no pre-registration for baptisms, and they register that night. They get a letter, A, B, C, D, and then we call them up in that order. Okay. And, you know, people have been patient, Isaiah. I mean, they have, and especially when they have smalls, you know, little children, and they've been waiting 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Now, think about that. Some people wait 5 to 6 hours to encounter the Lord. He's in the waiting. I'm telling you, he's in the waiting. We had a lady travel from Las Vegas with her friend, drove all the way from Las Vegas. 30 years ago, she suffered a drive-by shooting. A bullet went into her ear, grazed it, but totally destroyed her hearing in her ear. She's traveling, gets to the revival. At 2:30 in the morning, she and her friend are the last ones getting baptized. The sanctuary's empty. No one's in. I'm telling you, just our baptismal team. She gets into the water. And when they baptized her, she came up. The Lord did a creative miracle and gave her a brand new ear. She was the next to the last to be baptized. She gets out of the water, starts running around the sanctuary. Her friend had no peripheral vision, and she's the last one to get baptized. She gets immersed. She comes up out of the water, and the peripheral vision pops open. So at 2:30 in the morning, the power of the Lord was as strong and as prevalent as it was when we first started immersing at 8:15 or 8:30.
I'm telling you, my heart is burning right now. I'm like, when are we going back? When are we going back? Jared's in the chat. Jared, get ready. Get your ticket. We're going. I'm bringing my wife, bringing the kids. I'm telling you, the Lord's moving. I want to share some of these stories. Guys, I'm actually going to take the segment of the stream later and chop this up and post it as videos, because these testimonies are some of the most powerful testimonies that you've ever heard. Let's talk a little bit about what is the Lord doing in the water? And I want to start with the first story. We have pictures too, so this is going to be great. But let's talk about the first story, Lorraine, and what the Lord did to her in the water. And you let me know when you want me to put the before, when you want me to put the after, and I'll have the pictures ready.
Yeah, go ahead and put the first picture up.
Okay.
Lorraine was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. This is what stage 4 breast cancer looks like in the human body. And she had chemo, radiation, you know, once a month. So she was diagnosed in June of 2018, came to the revival, Isaiah, in October 28th, 2018. So she had taken 4 pills at most. And the oncologist said, Lorraine, you know, this is not going to cure this, but it may slow the cancer down. She said, well, I'm interested in the quality of days rather than the quantity of days. So she chose to go that route. And so she came, show one of the baptismal pictures. So she got into the water. That's her husband. Her husband's John was the state school superintendent in the state of Georgia.
Wow.
He ran for governor in 2016. Beautiful people, wonderful people. And she came with stage 4 breast cancer. Go to the next picture, if you would. That's her immersion right there. The fire of God fell upon her where she could not even she didn't even have strength in her legs to stand up. I've seen people slain in the spirit at the physical altar, but when you start seeing people overwhelmed with the glory, the weight of God in the water, we catch them, we hold them, and allow the Lord to minister. Well, the very next day, Isaiah, she goes to get another PET scan. Now, the first one was June of 2018. The next one was October 29th, the very next day after her immersion. Pull up that next.
Okay, guys, I'm just telling you right now, I'm going to put both of them up in a moment. But so you guys just saw all the cancer. There's countless 200 something, whatever it was, tumors. This is the after. So she gets submerged, and this is the next day. That is just unbelievable. Let me actually put these next to each other. So I'm going to put this one in front of you, and then I'm going to put this one in front of me. So there is the before and after. I mean, this is just mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. There's no way you could fake this. There's no way anybody could say the Lord doesn't heal and the Lord doesn't move. I mean, yeah, I'm speechless. So what is her reaction when she gets this scan?
Oh, she's elated, obviously. And if you came to the revival, the North Georgia revival on Sunday night, guess who's going to be there ministering to the cancer patients?
Wow.
Lorraine. Yesterday, October the 28th, I think it was, she celebrated her 6th year cancer-free. Six years. And the only difference was who she met in the water.
Come on.
And God fulfilled what he showed me in that open vision, that he was going to baptize people with Holy Spirit and fire. Come on. And Isaiah, listen, we've not seen a few miracles or dozens or even hundreds of miracles. We have literally seen thousands of miracles. I've traveled to 72 churches this year around the nation.
Wow.
And everywhere we go and baptize, God does the very same thing. The very same thing. He's healing people in the water. And this is a nameless and faceless move of God, Isaiah. That's what I love about it. It's not attached to, again, a brand or personality, my gifting or charisma. This is a raw, substantive move of the Lord where God has asked me to simply host him so that he can bring kingdom power and bring freedom and healing to his bride.
That's so good. And for those that missed it, I know you guys were asking the chat, this is not an initial rebaptism. So if you've gotten baptized as your initial, hey, I'm confessing my faith in Christ, I'm being baptized as the Bible says, this is a separate submersion where people are getting healed, delivered, and set free when they're going down into the water of baptism. But again, you know, John the Baptist said, I baptize with water, but one comes greater whose sandals I'm unworthy to untie, who baptizes in the Holy Spirit and fire. This is a separate type of experience people are having. We know, of course, in the book of Acts, people are being baptized in the Spirit. More than once, they were getting refilled and refilled. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, which ruins your life, but instead be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's a refilling. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, this is 100% biblical. We have Old Testament precedent. You know, Naaman, who came with leprosy, came to the
That's
prophet.
So good.
Yeah, and he said, go to the water and dip yourself seven times. Well, he thought that was the most unsophisticated, you know, unorthodox thing. It offended him. There's something that God's doing in the water. 6 months prior to Lester Summerall's death, a friend of mine asked Dr. Summerall in 1995, what will the end times be like? And Dr. Summerall began to wax eloquently about the days of Noah, giving and taking in marriage, perversions, things of that way, earthquakes, pestilences. And then he stopped in mid-sentence, my friend said, and he looked at him straight in the eye, put his finger right in front of his nose and said, watch the water. Watch the water. And then he went right back into his dialogue. I'm telling you, there's something significant about the water. A 3-second encounter in the right environment where faith is high, where you're believing God to baptize you with fire, things will happen.
So good. Let's go to the next one, because you guys have also seen another miracle. I mean, these are all miracles that has been happening where people that have cut themselves, that their scars are actually being healed. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? And then I have some pictures. And for some of you guys, just so you know, some of these pictures may be graphic, but I think you need to see them. These are real. This is what's going on in our world. People are really suffering with not just these physical ailments, but also they're hurting themselves. And the Lord is also healing those people in deliverance and healing. So again, viewer discretion is advised, but I would highly advise you guys staying and looking at these testimonies because they're very, very powerful. But let's talk about the next one.
Yeah, we ask 4 questions when someone gets into the water. What's your name? Where are you from? And then thirdly, why are you in the water? And this is when people will say, here's the reason I came tonight. And many of them will say, I want to get closer to the Lord. Some will say I'm backslidden, or I have anxiety, depression, sickness, fibromyalgia, whatever the case. And so I'll never forget, I'm outside the water, Isaiah. I'm 3 feet from her. Pastor Marty's baptizing. And he asked her name. She gives it. Where are you from? Atlanta. Why are you in the water? She said this. She said, I'm 17 years of age. I'm addicted to meth and I cut myself.
Wow.
And she held up her arm. Ugh. Now, this was new for me. I had never seen the physical, the cutting on people's arms and legs until the revival broke out and people started coming with that condition. And she held out her arm. Show that first picture of the scars. This is her arm 1 week prior to the immersion. You can see the scabbing, the redness, the raised flesh, et cetera. So when she held up her arm, everybody saw it, that she had these scars. Pastor Marty baptized her. Now, Isaiah, listen, I was raised Baptist, okay? And these Baptist brown eyes, when she came up out of the water, I literally saw them disappear 50%. 50% disappeared. I'm like, did my eyes just see what I think I just saw? And they're just vanishing 50%. And then it stopped. Pastor Marty, who does the majority of the baptisms in that pool, he took the anointing oil, rubbed her arm. And this is what he said. I'll never forget it. He said, I just know what Jesus would do if he was here. And he anointed that arm, baptized her a second time. And she came up out of that water. And when she came up, I saw the remaining scars from her arm disappear right before my very eyes. Now, Isaiah, but prior to this revival, even being in Pentecost and the charismatic movement for many years, I never really literally saw a miracle. Okay, headaches, toe aches, and tummy aches, but not a bona fide miracle of this magnitude. And those scars disappeared. It so startled me. I waited on her until she changed her clothes, came out into the sanctuary, and with my own phone, I took the next picture.
Here we go. You guys ready? Unbelievable. Jesus. Woo, man. I feel the Holy Ghost. So look at this. This is before. So there's the before. This is the after the baptism, the submersion. Look at that. It's unbelievable. I mean, literally unbelievable. I just think of the scripture with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And it reminds me of when the man at the tombs that was cutting himself, who had legion, was cutting himself with rocks. And then look at the Lord. The man's fully well in new clothes. And that's what the Lord did there. Just again, before, there she is. And then after. Unbelievable.
Isaiah, this is what happens when I think the leadership of the church just kind of, well, not kind of, but fully steps out of the way and presents Jesus the keys to the building, your agenda, your service, all right? Do what you want to do, but not just having the attitude and the mentality, Lord, we want you to do miracles, signs, and wonders, but there is a specific price that has to be paid by the leadership and the congregation. You know, that brokenness, that honor, but also that commitment to pray.
So good.
You know, to pray, to seek God, and not just to pray for miracles, but continuously. God, we want my heart to be in such a condition and the environment of my spirit to be attractive to you. Like you mentioned a few moments ago about God being everywhere at the same time, but T.F. Tenney said it best. He said, you know, God is never not there at your church, but sometimes he steps out from behind the curtain and takes center stage.
Come on.
And the point is, I never want him to go behind the curtain again. So whatever I have to do, whatever he has to deal with, whatever he has to cut out of my heart, I say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Search me and know me and see if there's any wicked ways inside me.
So good. And you guys, we're posting the link right there for the info. Thank you so much, Diane Stevens. She keeps posting the church link. We also have it in the description. So I know all of you keep spamming the chat. There's a couple thousand of you on here saying, how do we get there? Where is it at? It's all there, guys, in the description. I know you have service starting soon. So let's go through a couple more of these. Let's go to Jubal, if that's how I say it right. Let's talk about
Jubal.
That one. Yeah, Jubal. Okay, let's talk about that one because I know you have service. Guys, Pastor Todd literally is out of church right now. He has service starting in a few minutes. But I do want to get through these testimonies because they're so powerful. But Jubal, why don't you share about that? And then I'll go through some of these pictures as you do.
Yeah, Jubal came to our leaders conference and she had a skin condition, psoriasis, that would break out from time to time. Yeah, you can see that it was on her neck.
There.
Yeah, and you could see the grossness there. Again, it wasn't constant, but it was like, you know, every now and then, probably more than not. And she came and got into the water. Show her baptismal picture there if you would. So she gets into the water and she didn't even ask. This is what's so beautiful. She didn't even ask the Lord to heal her skin condition. She just felt when she put her feet into the water, I need to make sure my heart's right with him.
Come on.
And she just began just to say, Lord, I just want you to have all of me. Take full control of me. And when she went down into the water, the power and the presence of God came upon her. And then she began to realize that she has not had eczema or any type of outbreak of psoriasis since that point. And so pull up the picture of her complete healing.
Come on.
This is her today. This is how she operates and how she lives. I can't tell you how many people have been healed of the skin conditions. The
there's
psoriasis.
Before. Look at that. Before, you guys can see that. I mean, it's all in her ear. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And then there's after. Only
brutal.
God.
Brutal. Brutal existence. You know, those that suffer from this, it's brutal. It's horrific. It's painful. It's embarrassing. But 3 seconds in the water, he baptized her with fire. Listen, we've seen significant cancers be cured. We've seen people with ringing ears get cured. things that, you know, anxiety, pressure, blood pressure problems, you know, diabetes, all of it. But let me say this, Isaiah, not every person that gets into the water gets healed. It's full transparency. I don't understand it. People ask me all the time, what do you do? How do you handle that? Well, you know, we're not batting zero, but we're certainly not batting 1,000. Mm. So we keep swinging. Come we on. Keep praying. We keep pursuing God. We keep humbling ourselves. And we are longing for the day that every sick person that walks through the room, every prodigal, every demonized individual that walks across the threshold will experience that the healing finger, the healing hand of God, and they walk out completely whole.
That's so good. The chat, I know you don't see it, but the chat, people in the chat are just going crazy with crying faces. Praise the Lord, praise Jesus. It's just, I mean, all glory to him. You know, I don't know how you can sit here, those watching live, and then not believe the Lord heals, not believe this is for today, be critical or cynical, and then see these testimonies. These are real people. These are real people that are hurting every day, going through these horrific diseases and cancers in their body and, you know, the eczema and all these things, cuts on the arm. And then the Lord in his sovereign mercy comes and touches these people. It's not a man doing this. There's no man getting glory. No one's getting praise for this. I love what Pastor Todd said. They're not famous preachers coming out every single week and drawing big crowds. This is the Lord moving in the waters and doing what he does. And what he did then, he's doing now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible says, what he does for one, won't he do it for another? So these are such beautiful, beautiful testimonies of what the Lord is doing. I just don't see how you could ever see these and go, oh, this is a man doing it. And by the way, guys, again, nobody gets paid for this. No one's paying money to be baptized. Nobody's paying money to go in the water. This is 100% free. Freely you've been given, freely give. So it still amazes me how people could think, oh, this is a fraud. Oh, this is a scam, when there's no money being passed on hands, none of that. They're staying all hours of the night to baptize these people. And it's just a sovereign work of the Lord. Let's talk about the last one, then I will share just a couple pictures and we'll pray before we get you out of here. Talk about Reed, and then I'll share the videos when you're ready.
Yeah, Reed drove all the way down from Delaware with his mother. He's 10 years old, suffered from an eye condition at birth, and it obviously affected his vision. He had 20 over 3200 vision. That means you can't see out of your left eye more than 2 to 3 inches. He had special glasses. He came to the revival and got into the water. And what we're going to show you is the moment that his eye opened up. Now, he's legally blind. He's on the government legally blind list. He won't be able to drive. He can't compete in sports. He only wanted to play baseball and football. He couldn't do it because he couldn't see. And yet they drove, I think it was 12 hours, Isaiah, through the night to get to Dawsonville for the purpose of the Lord touching his eye. So there's about a 25-second video that you'll see. And watch the moment he comes up out of the water and his face when he realizes his left eye that was legally blind, 20 over 3,200, he now can see completely.
Come on, here we go. It's amazing, amazing. There he is. Wow, look at those pictures. Wow. Thank you, Lord. That is amazing. His face when he realizes he could see. Thank you, Lord. So amazing.
Yeah. So all he wanted to do was play baseball. I was able to interview him on on the ISN network, and he showed me another video. This is a 3-second. Pay close attention to this.
Look at this, guys. Okay. So you saw he was blind, and then the Lord opened his eye. Now look at this. There's Reed. Come on. I'm going to play it again. So here he is playing baseball. This is all he wanted to do. Couldn't do it before. Watch this. To the fences. Come on. Praise the Lord. I mean, it honestly doesn't get more beautiful than that. Here's a couple also amazing pictures. I know you sent me a bunch. I just picked 3 of them here. They're just to show, just to capture what the Lord's doing in the water. And on their Facebook, I just actually looked at these 2 days ago. There's hundreds of pictures on their Facebook. So here's just a couple I loved. So there you see a family. It's just beautiful. The whole family's in the water. The Lord is moving. So there's the family in the water. Man, that is amazing. Is this a regular thing where you'll see families getting in the water together?
Entire families. Infants that are sick, you know, we're not doing, you know, infants baptism or nothing, but man, they're sick and God's touching them. Autism. Listen, Isaiah, autism is being healed. We have seen an outbreak of autism, and it, unbelievable. I got videos of before and after. I got test scores where doctors and psychologists said, this is his condition. He'll never advance. He's socially, you know, maladjusted and score this level, then get into the water. And all of a sudden, his appetite comes. Come he on. Increases his vocabulary. He's cognitive. He's able to carry on conversations. Starts advancing through school. Now is at grade level. And the teacher now says he's one of the smartest kids in the school. I'm telling you, we've seen it again. It's nothing man-made. I can't stress that. It's about his presence.
Man.
And if you come to our church, we won't pray for miracles. We don't seek the miracles. We don't pray that God would do miracles. Why? We pray, God, we simply want you. Whatever that looks like, whatever that feels like, walk into this room and feel so comfortable, Lord, that you never want to leave. And when he's in the room, miracles is simply what he does. That's what he does. That's just being in his presence. So my goal is not to have miracles. My goal is to do whatever I have to do in my own heart, Isaiah, to say, I want to partner with Todd.
So good.
I want to get closer to what's going on in Dawsonville. That's it.
And guys, those of you asking, it's in Dawsonville, Georgia. So this is North Georgia. Some of you are saying it's in Dallas. This is not in Dallas, Texas. This is in North Georgia, in Dawsonville. Here's another picture that's so beautiful here. I'm guessing that's like a mom holding her daughter, which is just, again, just beautiful here to see the kids. Here's another one that I love. Look at that. That right there, to me, that's just freedom. That's just beautiful right there. Freedom, what the Lord is doing. Pastor Todd, I know you have a service starting. It actually started 5 minutes ago. Would you just say a prayer for those watching? I mean, literally, my heart is burning. I know you guys in the chat, your heart is on fire. My heart is burning. I'll stay on a little bit after I get Pastor Todd off and talk to you guys and make sure you guys get the links and all the information. But we just say a prayer for those that are hungry for revival, that are burning for revival. I know a lot of these people watching on the replay and on the live are going to end up showing up to the church and experiencing it for themselves. But if you would, just a prayer for revival for those watching.
Father, I thank you that you're moving all across the land, literally all across the world. And Lord, you're preparing your bride for the greatest harvest that's ever, ever going to be witnessed by the church. I thank you, Lord, that you're positioning us, Lord, that you're placing us in a place of hunger and thirst, not for a simple breakthrough, not just to get through the week, but God, a total saturation of your love, of where it so changes us that we become in love with you, that we passionately pursue you. God, I pray for revival. I pray for pastors. Lord, I pray that our pulpits get awakened. Lord, that revival comes to every pastor and leader that's watching right now. That, Lord, you'd grip their heart. And, Lord, that you would create such a drive to know you and to be close to you. Thank you that America shall be saved.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that we will see our cities engulfed in revival fire. Thank you for the baptismal waters. Increase it, Lord, around the land. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Thank you, Lord. Guys, I'm going to be there early next year, but don't wait till I'm there. I know a lot of you in the chat are saying, I'm going next week. I'm going in 2 weeks. Do what you have to do. Figure out what you have to do, whatever it takes. We spend all this money to go to Disneyland. We spend all this money to go to theme parks. Take your family here. Bring them to the water. Let the Lord move. It'll be a great time with your family. They have an amazing kids ministry as well, where revival's breaking out. I mean, we could do a whole nother stream talking about that. The Lord's moving in the kids ministry as well. So this is something your kids need to be a part of. Your family needs to be a part of. Do you have any material they can get, any books, any websites or anything like that, that we could talk about as well?
Yeah, just two books. You can get them at kingdomready.tv, kingdomready.tv. But this is the book that I wrote about the revival. It's called Creating a Habitation for God's Glory. I don't know if you can see
right
that.
Right there. Yep. There you go.
And put out by Destiny Image. This tells the revival. And then this one, I think, is the most significant work, called Unless We Pray. Mm. Isaiah, our church prays 7 times a week.
Come on.
Revival is always birthed through prayer, and it is sustained through prayer. We prioritize prayer above every ministry that the church
has.
We place it even above our worship. We place it above our preaching. And the reason is because if you preach and worship without a foundation of prayer, you're just simply singing and you're just simply mouthing words. But when the body of Christ prays, it is like the fire of God sets the preaching and the worship on fire. And so that's valuable. Our prayer meetings are the highlight of our week. I'm telling you, it's where God moves, and we make the deposit in the spirit so that when sick people walk into the room, we're not freaking out. We're not thinking, oh, how are we going to meet this demand? How are we going to meet this? No, we made the deposit on Monday night, Wednesday night. Our children made the deposit. We make it on Saturday night, Sunday morning. That's the most important thing that I do. That's my highest call, not to preach, not to win souls, not to make disciples, which are important and we must. But the highest call of all of us on this today is to become a man or woman of prayer. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, not preach, not sing, not worship, love it, we need to do it. But if they'll pray, seek my face, turn from sin, I'll heal.
So good. I had that in my notes to talk about prayer. So we got to do another stream together and we'll talk about prayer. Maybe we can pray together on stream as well for people that are hungry. But the prayer is such a vital part of the revival. We definitely need to do another stream on that in the future if you'd be willing to do that, because it's a key component to what God is doing at your church.
Great. Thank you, Isaiah, for having me, and look forward to seeing all of you at the North Georgia Revival when the Lord allows you to come.
Thank you so much, Pastor. And I pray you have an amazing service tonight. Thank you so much for being on tonight.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless. Guys, what an amazing testimony. But so into what God is doing. I want to send him something. He's not going to want me to so and send him anything, but I want to. Listen, these testimonies are absolutely mind-blowing. What the Lord is doing at this revival, I've been there, guys. It's real. It's tangible. You guys know I would consider myself a revivalist. I got saved during revival. I've seen legitimate revivals happen. I'm going to be back there early next year, and hopefully, God willing, I'll be able to bring my family. This is something that you seriously need to be a part of, especially if you're in the area, especially if you're not far. You know what? Forget it. Even if you are far, you should go be a part of it. Just go believing that God's going to meet you and God will meet you. Thousands and thousands, over 40,000 people have gotten touched in the water. So yeah, let's sow into what God is doing. The links to give are there. I'm going to send something to his ministry. He's traveled to over 77 churches this year. And another pastor friend of mine told me this about him. He goes to any church. Doesn't matter the size. Doesn't ask for money. This guy is the real deal. I'm so refreshed. Guys, I'm so refreshed to see pastors that are hungry like this, that are humble. Sometimes I look at the state of the modern mega church and I'm like, Lord, is there any pastors that are hungry? Is there any pastors that are humble? And to see this man that's going to these churches, preaching, not asking for anything, doesn't matter the size. And he has a service right now. He's literally getting off the stream to go preach at a service. And then he's going to be up till probably 1 a.m. He was up till midnight or 1 a.m. They were there baptizing people. Is this not refreshing? This is somewhere that I want to sow into. This is good ground. So I'm just telling you right now, regardless of what you guys send in tonight, I'm going to be sowing significantly. I'm going to be sending in more finances than come in from the stream to his ministry tonight. And he can do whatever he feels led to do with that. But let's put our money where our mouth is and support what the Lord is doing. So amazing. I'm praying, guys, that these stories go viral. I'm praying that these streams go viral. Like on YouTube, it has to be this edgy thing to go viral. I'm just praying, Lord, let these testimonies go viral. And so what I will do is I'm going to cut up that part where you shared those stories. It was like 20 minutes. I'll post it as a separate YouTube video so you can send that to your friends and family that don't believe in miracles. It's like, you can't make this up. There's people in the chat that were like, this isn't real. This is fake. Listen, Jesus stood in front of the Pharisees, opened up blind eyes, raised the dead, yet they still didn't believe. Right there in front of them, Jesus was casting out demons, a man that was born blind. And the Pharisees questioned him and he said, I don't know. They're like, who's the guy? Where did he come from? What's his pedigree? And the guy said, I don't know. I just know I was blind and now I see. So I don't care to convince anybody. I don't need to convince any of you. We don't need to convince any of you. This is the Lord. You can stay ignorant. You can stay hard-hearted. You can stay religious. You can stay blind. You can stay a cessationist in your doctrine of demons that doesn't believe God does these things today. You can do whatever you want. Stay in your dead church. Keep believing that God can't move. You keep believing in a weak God all you want. Don't matter to me. I don't understand this. Some of you believe the devil's so powerful, but then you hear these stories and you don't believe God's powerful. Stay in your ignorance. Stay in your religion. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'll believe this. I'll be a part. If it's God and I feel and see God all over this, there's fruit. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it in me. Some of you need to pray that tonight. Some of you need to pray tonight, Lord, do it in me. God, do it in my family. God, do it in my house. Lord, do it in my church. Do it in my baptismal. Like, I don't know why we're so religious. We got to break out. I believe tonight the Lord's breaking you out of that religious bondage, those religious shackles. Get open to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit baptize you in fire tonight. Say, Lord, if this is you, touch me. Touch my life. Go as a skeptic. Go as a skeptic and say, Lord, meet me. Meet me here. God's not afraid of your skepticism. I don't want to be in dead church. I don't want to be in dead religion. I don't want to be a doubting Thomas. I don't want to be I want to be on fire for the Lord. I want to be around people that are on fire. David said this weekend reminded me of who I want to be surrounded by. Absolutely, David. Love you, bro. This weekend at Breakers was historic. I forgot this is my first stream since Breakers conference. Guys, it was historic what the Lord is doing. I was so in tears most of the day looking at 10,000 people that showed up that are so hungry for God. It wasn't about a man or a speaker. It was about Jesus being lifted up and exalted among the nations. Thousands came and were hungry. And we're doing it again next year. Same place next year, the Breakers Conference. It's already selling out. Already people are buying up the floor seats, guys. It's God. It's moving. It's revival now. Why are you going to wait until 50 years and then read about what you could have lived in? We are living in historic times where the Lord is pouring out, guys. We are in a stadium with 10,000 people crying out for the Lord, seeing miracles and deliverances and repentance. And you know what, guys? I could do a whole video on the Breakers and my experience there. Maybe I will. I have sat in those events in big arenas and heard preachers get up and preach watered down, lukewarm messages. I've sat in those events saying, Lord, one day, will you bring preachers and prophets to a stadium like this? And would your word go forth with power, with authority, with signs and wonders? And I got to see on Saturday for 8 hours plus that prophecy fulfilled, where the Lord brought powerful men and women of God to proclaim with no sugarcoating, no apologizing. It was 8 hours of power-packed gospel preaching, power of God being released, worship unto God, and Jesus being exalted. It was one of the most powerful days of my life was there at the Breakers. And we're doing it again next year. And next year, I'll be bringing my family, my wife and kids. I couldn't this year because we had another obligation with our family. But next year, we're doing it again. It was anointed. David said anointed from the beginning to end. It was, guys. It was. It was Holy Spirit. No one wanted to leave. Nobody left. 10,000 people stayed. People didn't even want to go to eat. Guys, I looked at the crowd. It didn't move the whole day. I didn't want to move. I stood for, I don't know, 7 of the hours. I didn't eat the entire day. I was like, food, what's that? Who needs food? Who cares? I couldn't sit down, guys. The whole day, it was nonstop. It was by far probably the best conference I've ever been a part of. So, and we don't even, and I'm not even saying all this for you to get tickets for next year, because I'll tell you right now, next year is already going to be sold out. I would be shocked if in a month there were still tickets for next year. So just saying, guys, and if you're like, oh man, you guys are making money, just so you know, this conference was in the negative, negative, negative. These events take an insane amount of money. Pastor Mike and V1 Church put on. But I'll tell you right now, nobody made money from this event. There's no money to be made. This is a sacrifice. In fact, Pastor Mike and V1 Church, hopefully they don't mind me saying this, we're in the negative and spent, I won't tell you how much, a lot of money to put this on. So for those of you like, oh, it's a money grab, none of this, you're just ignorant. And that word ignorant means you just don't know. You just don't know. It was straight fire. Incredible. So into what God is doing. I'm on fire tonight, guys. I don't know what to tell you. We'll be live Thursday at noon. I know Thursday is Halloween, which you shouldn't be celebrating. So you'll be there at the Thursday noon. Maybe I'll do a whole stream on why you shouldn't celebrate Halloween before the night, so you could just know why not to. But Thursday we'll be, I don't know, praying, Q&A. I'm not sure, but I'll be live Thursday at noon. God is moving. Breakers Conference was life-changing. Tonight was amazing. Revival's happening. We're in historic days. I don't care about the numbers. I don't care how many people will care or watch, whatever. It doesn't matter. I told the guys today, the Demon Slayer chat on voice text, I was like, I don't care about the views. I don't care about the numbers. I don't care about the analytics. Doesn't matter to me. I'm going to be faithful to what God's telling me to do. I'm going to keep pushing. You guys can give. You guys cannot give. You guys can get mad. Don't get mad. I don't care. I'm going to keep speaking out against abortion. I'm going to keep speaking out against this trans movement that are indoctrinating our kids. I'm going to keep preaching the word of God, unfiltered, unadulterated, unapologetic. There's plenty of channels that they'll apologize or they won't preach it strong. I don't matter. Go there. Go there. If you don't like this type of preaching, if you don't like the raw radical, this isn't for you. This isn't for you guys. We're in the middle of revival right now in America. 10,000 people just met in a stadium on Saturday. We just had 10,000. People are hungry. That's happening right now. You're hearing about a revival happening 300 and something Sundays where 40 plus thousand people have been submerged and experienced the power of God. Like, I feel like Habakkuk, you know, Habakkuk's complaining, Lord, where are you? All this bad stuff's happening. And the Lord says, Habakkuk, I'm doing something in your nation, in your generation. Open your eyes. Don't you see it? The Lord is moving. The Lord is moving. So again, we're not beggars. We're believers. You guys already know, be a monthly partner with us. We need monthly partnership for this next year. Lots of people have canceled because the year's up. It is what it is. If you've canceled, pray about becoming a partner again on our website, isaiahsaldivar.com/partner. You'll get 70 sermons. You'll get invited to our weekly prayer call Thursdays at 1:30. We have a prayer call. We'll be live at noon. We're just pushing. We're pushing. Guys, you are the resistance right now. Our nation, there's incredible wickedness going on. You are the resistance. That's what this is all about. This is about an army that God is raising up in the last days. We don't have time to worry about. Did you see somebody was in the comment? Did you see the video? So-and-so, he made what did they say? He called you out. He made a video about you. I just want you to just think about this, okay? I'm feeling spicy tonight. No apologies about the spice that I have on me tonight. You are in my comments tonight talking about some YouTuber that has no faith to believe for this stuff, right? I didn't even want to say what I want to say, but you're in my comments saying, did you hear about this YouTuber that made a video about you today? Are you going to respond? Do you think I'm going to respond? This is my response. We just got done for an hour talking about miracles, signs and wonders and the move of God. And you think I'm going to respond to some YouTuber that sits around making videos about how everybody's false? I don't even care. No, I'm not going to respond. No, I'm not going to respond. I don't care. I'm busy. I'm busy seeking the Lord, believing for revival. If I'm going to, why would I spend an hour doing that when I can spend my time training the church, praying for revival, seeking the Lord? Why would I do that? It's a waste of time. Mike and Angelica, love you guys. Love you guys. Waste of time, they said. Absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't even matter. So that's that. I know there's a guy who made all these clips of me saying how I don't care about heresy hunters. He's like, yeah, he does. I was like, man, it's just, we're past that, guys. We're past that. Doesn't matter. You know, I was like, once we hit 1 million subscribers, I don't even care. We're going to hit it. Praise the Lord. Because we're going to keep preaching and putting out content. But it doesn't matter. I don't sleep any different. People were like, what did it feel like preaching to 10,000 people? It felt the same as preaching to 10 people. It doesn't matter. It's all about Jesus. This whole ministry, all it matters is Jesus. I don't care. This is not the Isaiah Saldivar show. This is, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I was an atheist, guys. Remember this. I was an atheist 13 years ago. I don't care about crowds. I don't care about numbers. There is only one person I care about. There is only one person that matters. There is only one person that gets honor and glory and praise. That is Jesus. Isaiah Saldivar is nobody. I'm not a celebrity. You guys meet me like, oh, don't yell, don't shout. I'm the normal guy. I'm just like your brother, your cousin. I'm a normal person. I put my socks on the same way as you. They're always mismatched. I literally always wear mismatched socks. Half the time my socks aren't even matched. I was in my stream. I won't show you my socks, but they're right here and they don't match. I'm just a normal guy that said yes to the Lord. No desire to preach. I had no desire to do ministry. I had no desire to be on a stage. And the Lord said, I'm going to take you from the back of the line. I'm going to take you from being an atheist to revivalist, and I'm going to put you amongst thousands of people, millions of people, for my glory. So again, guys, I have no ambition to preach. I don't want to preach. I've never wanted to preach in 13 years. I'm doing this because the Lord said to do it. That's it. I'm like that donkey that he untied and said, I'm going to use you. That's it. I don't have no desires. I don't have no, just so you guys know, I don't get any pleasure out of it. Like people be like, oh, screaming my name. Zero pleasure. Zero satisfaction. And I'm praying that the Lord would keep me that way. I'm praying that I want to stay that way. I don't ever want this to make me feel a certain way. Like, ooh, I'm a famous guy. Ooh, I preach so good. Ooh, look at all these people. I don't ever want to be that way. I don't care about green rooms. I care about the upper room. I don't want to be like that. You know, it was so refreshing on Saturday to be around all these ministers that don't care. That none of them were in the green room. They were out worshiping all day for 8 hours, all the speakers. That's the people I want to be around. So many green rooms have become locker rooms. If you know, you know. I want to be in the upper room. I want to be around people that are humble and hungry and desperate. Yeah, from Manteca. Guys, I'm from Manteca, California. And everyone in the chat saying, where's that? Exactly. Exactly. What good can come from Nazareth? Nobody knows about Manteca. Nobody. Doesn't matter. So let's stay humble, stay low, keep our nose down. Every day I remind myself, Lord, I got to stay humble. I'm broken. I need you every single day. I'm like, Lord, I need you. I can't do this without you. I can't survive without you. Guys, for 13 years, even in a practical sense, for 13 years, I've never been on a salary ever of any church, of my own church. I senior pastored for 10 years and I wasn't on big salary or anything. I've been living by faith for 13 years. I'm just like, Lord, yes, I'm following the cloud. Whatever you want to do. That's my life. If the Lord tomorrow says, guys, if God tonight says this is your last stream, I will never stream again. If God says this is your last stream, I'll never stream again. If the Lord says no more videos, I'll never make another video. If the Lord says no more traveling, I'll never travel again. If the Lord tells me tomorrow to start a church, I'll start a church. If the Lord tells me tomorrow to pastor, I'll pastor. If the Lord tells me tomorrow to move to India, sell everything I have, I'll do it. Is Manteca lard? Yeah, that's what it means in Spanish. Manteca. That's the city I had the revival in. None of it matters. We just follow the Lord. It's up, it's down. We're following the cloud. So that's where I'm at. That's my heart. That's my heart. My heart's for revival. My heart's for awakening. My heart's for the move of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to keep pressing. We're going to be 6 years in January. We'll be starting our sixth year of live streaming full time. Let's go. Better days ahead. Better days ahead. We're just getting warmed up. I haven't even hit my stride yet. We're going for it. We're going for it. I'm still just praying, Lord, speak to me. Awaken me. Jared and Candace will be live in like 5 minutes with prayer and worship. If you feel moved like I do tonight, here's what I'd advise you to do. Examine your heart tonight. I feel super stirred. Am I the only one? Type one in the chat if you just feel like your heart's on fire tonight. Right? We had like 2,000 people on and we've had streams with 10,000. I'll tell you right now, my heart is burning tonight more than any stream where we had 10,000 or broke records or whatever. It doesn't matter. You hear me? You hear what I'm saying? My heart is burning tonight. I would challenge those of you that got touched by the word. You're on fire. I feel like I could preach like a 4-hour sermon right now. I'm not even lying. My advice would be in 5 minutes, 3 minutes, we're going to go into Jared and Candace's stream with prayer and worship. I'll get the link right now. It's already going to connect you if you're on YouTube. And I would challenge you to pray and worship with them. Pray and worship with them. I'm going to put go here in 2 minutes. There it is. Go worship. Get in the place of prayer. Get in the place of worship. Like, I literally feel like I could cry at any moment right now. I do. I felt like that all night. That's how I felt at the Breakers. That's how I felt at the North Georgia Revival. I just feel it. God's stirring something in me. And maybe it's just me. Maybe the Lord's just doing a work in my heart. But yeah, I just feel that. I just feel that. So do you have a heart for unreached people? Yes, we're reaching unreached people on this platform. We're reaching places now. People have Starlink now in the middle of nowhere and they're watching our stuff and writing us from the middle of nowhere. I've had people literally say, I had somebody write me and say, we are a village that has no, I guess, I don't know anything, and they have Starlink internet now, and they said that their village gathers on a laptop and watches my streams. That is mind-blowing to me. Somebody wrote me and said that. We just got internet, we have one laptop in our village, and our village gathers to watch your streams. That's crazy. This is what the Lord is doing in 2024. It's amazing what the Lord is doing. Everybody's saying they feel it. Yeah, man, whoo. I feel it, y'all. They're going to start before I start crying, but I'm telling you, the Lord is doing stuff like this all the time. Testimonies are coming in. Believe God for your miracle. Tonight, during Jared and Candace's prayer stream, God could heal you. God could deliver you. Why not? Why not? Yeah, I literally just, I'm like, I visualize a village together in a hut watching a laptop. A little, and he even told me, it's a little broken down laptop. I've heard that story multiple times. Somebody told me in the Philippines, they said, oh, all of our family, there's 20 of us in a small community in the Philippines in the middle of nowhere. They said, we get together and watch you on our laptop. I've heard that story multiple times. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. That's it. So I'm fired up, fired up. God's moving. Who knows what he's going to do? Who knows? But I do believe the seasons are changing. The winds of change are here. And we're praying, Lord, what do you want us to do? What do you want to say? Who knows? But I know this next year, I know there's a shift coming. Something's happening in the spirit. I don't know what it is. I don't know at all what it is. But something is changing. And just get ready for what the Lord's going to do. The same thing I feel about when I prophesied in 2019, revivals in living rooms, revivals in homes, I feel that same push, that same spirit, that same fire is going to be happening in 2025. That's what I feel. So we'll see. We'll see. How does that look? I don't know. Is that live streaming? I don't know. Is that going to be us doing revival with our kids and family and live streaming it? I don't know. Is that going to be a gathering? I don't know. I don't know. I just know the Lord knows, and we're praying, we're believing, we're getting our heart in the right place and our families in the right place and the chain breakers in the room. Amen. All right, let me pull up Jared and Candace's stream. They're going to go live any moment. Here's where they're going. I feel the fire. Here we go. There's their stream. There's another wave coming. There's another wave coming, y'all. Get your surfboards ready. Ride this wave of revival. It's coming. Coming. It's here. All right, I love you guys. Breakers 2025. It's going to sell out. I'm just telling you right now. Going to sell out. So you can Google your tickets, get whatever, do whatever you got to do. I know what I'm doing. You do what you got to do. I'm bringing my wife and kids. That's it. I'll be back at the North Georgia Revival early next year. I'll be in Arizona in January. Revival's here, revival's now. My book comes out November 12th. We'll do a special stream that night or something. I don't know. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Go to Jared and Candace's stream. Thank you for giving. I'm going to send that to Pastor. Become a monthly partner. Help our ministry out. Don't dine and dash. It's all there. It's all there. You guys already know. Love you guys. I'll see you Thursday at noon. God bless. Love you guys. Go to Jared and Candace's now. Here's the link. I'll be in Arizona in January. The end of January. I'll give you that date soon. I'll be in Arizona. All right? I love you guys so much. I'll be at Without Walls Church in Mesa, Arizona in January. Let's get in worship and prayer, guys. Let's go over to Jared and Candace's. Let's flood it. This should be the biggest stream they've ever had. There's 1,000 of us now. Let's go. Let's go pray.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.